lights. It's 7 Friday night.
Welcome to our first ever 7 Friday Night Spring Special. I'm Chase Bryson, the managing editor of Sports Stars, your humble guide for our discussion of all things NorCal football. It is mid-May, and it's not 100 degrees yet, which means we're already winning. The spring football window has wrapped up, and section playoffs for most spring sports are nearly over with or in full swing. Graduations are around the corner, and then it's legit countdown to kickoff time. I'm joined by my usual co-host, Ben Enos, who has been in countdown to kickoff mode since our season finale in January. Ben, how are your football withdrawals going?
Well, hello, everybody. Bet you didn't think you'd be hearing from us in May. We're like those bad seasonal allergies that you can't get rid of without the help of some serious pharmaceuticals. But, you know, it's nice to be talking something related to football. And on a positive note, Chase's ability to schedule these sessions gets better when he has like 3 weeks to think about it. So, you know, we got that going for us. You should be happy about that, people. But, you know what? I'm actually doing just fine. Withdrawals not hitting me yet. Basketball season's going great, Chase. Well, the Warriors are out, so maybe not. Baseball season, fantastic, really going great. Well, my favorite team is trying to leave town, and I can't support them anymore. So maybe not. Let's get positive. My golf game is thriving, Chase. I've played once in the last 5 months. So it appears that this podcast is just going to be a therapy session. Just kidding. It's football season in May.
Yes. The football world continues to revolve, and we've had enough news of late that we thought it would be good to get together and chat about some of it. We've got recently released North Coast Section enrollment divisions. Central Coast Section is making a tweak to its playoff format. There's been a few notable transfers and more. So we'll also even get a visit from the third member of this podcast, Coach Terry Edson, who made some news himself this week. So let's get the football discussion going, Ben. What would you like to start with?
Where to start? Well, let's start by taking a victory lap. No, not really. We're not going to take a victory lap. We don't do that kind of thing around here. I have never puffed my chest out and admitted that I was right about anything.
But I didn't call you the humble guide for a reason.
No, that's darn right. I do think that if we're going to talk about recent news and things that are happening that will affect us in the fall, we should start in the Central Coast Section. No, I am not here to make any jokes about first round matchups. That is not my deal today. We have serious business. The CCS Board of Managers voted recently to implement the same open division and Division I bracket format that the NCS uses. And more than anything, I think we should just credit them for taking a good idea and making it theirs. If the goal is to compete for and win state bowl titles, this gives them one more chance to do it, because this allows, in theory, the second best team in that section to have a path forward. We've spent plenty of time on this show over the past couple of years saying how much we liked this and we thought it was a good idea in the NCS. It's gotten extra teams a chance to continue playing, and now the CCS gets that chance, and I, for one, applaud them. What say you?
What a concept. Not killing off, you know, four of your top five teams in the first round. That's a good idea, I think. And then letting the number two and number three teams and your open division decide who gets to go on in Division I. It makes a ton of sense. And but I will say that the Division I winner in the Central Coast Section has done well at the state level. Obviously, we saw Wilcox do really well. They've had good teams, but at the same time, they had a really good team this year that got wiped out in the second round by Sarah, and that cost them a chance to have another shot at the bowl game that they just missed out on the previous year. So there's nothing that could be said against it in my mind.
It's hard to, you know, I'm not going to sit here and project that Sarah is going to go on a 151 game winning streak, but a lot of what the NCS does is in relation to De La Salle, right? It's to account for the De La Salle factor. And I think that the CCS is starting to see that, at least in these last couple of years, and especially going into this year, because we all expect Sarah to be really, really good again, that you have to account for that factor, and that you do have a team that operates kind of on a different level. And so this gives more opportunities for the other teams as well. And we would have gotten another really good team in the mix last year from the CCS.
Right.
You know, Mitty was tremendous last year and would have had a chance to continue on possibly. So, yeah, all good things. It's all good things for local football.
Let's keep this discussion on playoffs going, and we'll give some thoughts about the updated NCS playoff divisions, which were approved by the NCS Board of Managers in mid-April. Some notable changes for our listeners who may have missed it. San Ramon Valley and Camp Olindo have both earned the competitive equity bump to Division One, as we assumed and heard rumors that would happen last year. SRV probably should have always been there, in my opinion. Camp Olindo probably isn't thrilled, and it's hard to blame them. Former D1 teams Freedom Oakley and Heritage Brentwood moved down to D2, where both could play factors in what might be the section's strongest division now, top to bottom. D3 finalists from last year, Windsor and El Cerrito, both moved up as well. And then we got Marin Catholic, who we talked about a lot last year, being Division 4 juggernauts, along with Cardinal Newman, and they're now both up in Division 3. maybe 2 years a little too late, but that's the process, and it must be followed. So those are a few of the notable changes that I wrote down. What was the first thing that stood out to you when you looked over these divisions?
Yeah, you've touched on the interesting storylines, but of course, if anyone's ever listened to us before, you kind of know what we feel like as the headliner here, and it's that Division One move. You alluded to it. San Ramon Valley has traditionally played in a D1 league in the EBAL, although less and less EBL teams are finding themselves in the in Division One these days. But it feels like an appropriate move. We've seen them in Division One before. I've personally covered, you know, De La Salle, San Ramon Valley, NCS games. So it just kind of intuitively makes sense. And they've always been on that enrollment line, like right around D1, D2. So nothing new. Also, let's call this what it is. They have probably the most dynamic player in the section returning. So at least in 2023, they'll be okay. Campo, we've talked a lot about this. Campo's a different deal to me, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to make the Coug staff happy because they'll get to put this up on the bulletin board for their summer workouts. I think they're going to struggle, at least in 2023, when it comes to competing for an NCS title. The fact of the matter is, it's not like Campo is suddenly moving leagues too, which means they're going to play D2 and D3 schools right throughout the league season, and then they're going to jump into a playoff bracket with teams of a different size, with different numbers, and I just don't see how they can be ready for that. The bigger question here is whether or not this is a bad thing. You know, they've contended for section titles and state games in D2 for a long time, so I think the natural reaction, which you mentioned, it's baked into the NCS bylaws now. These are the rules that we play by. And those rules say that the Cougars need to move up and play teams of a higher caliber. I don't necessarily see that as wrong. And nobody's going to cry for the Cougs, certainly. But I do think this puts them on the outside looking in, at least for the moment.
Yeah. You mentioned the league factor. And it's fascinating to me. Like the Benicia, Las Lomas, Division III. Acolones, who traditionally gives Camp Olindo a very good game, they're Division 4. And we even have Miramani, their best rivals, Division 5. So they're in a league where they're not even coming close to the caliber of opponents, theoretically, that they'll see in the playoffs. So that's going to make Coach Macy really have to look at... he started the scheduled Division 1 games in the preseason. They played MAC a couple times, which is essentially Division 1, right? And even though they're OAL, they play some EBAL schools in the preseason every once in a while, but it's going to be a challenge for them to put together a schedule that will have them ready after the league that they're in. And there's really no, I don't see any path of them getting out of that league anytime soon. That's where they belong, for the most part.
And you mentioned Akalanis, and so if we're gonna look at these divisions, consider that Akalanis has almost, from what we've heard over the last 2 years, almost double the turnout for football and kids in the program as anybody in that district. Las Lomas last year, by the end of the year, had 25 guys on varsity, 25 bodies on the sideline. So, those are two different things. You play that league, and then you go into the playoffs to play De La Salle, Pittsburgh, Clayton Valley. I actually went back and looked, because I kind of, when you think about the disparity in school sizes and all this stuff and the Camp Lindo argument over the years, it's been kind of tied to Clayton Valley, right? It always seems to jump off when Campo has to play Clayton and Coach Macy and Coach Murphy doing their things and being the guys that they are. But you look at it, Campo has lost all four of their meetings to Clayton Valley in recent seasons, and most of those have not been close. And right. Clayton is kind of that third team. They're in that D1 game that we were talking about, but you know, they haven't made the open game in the last 2 years. I kind of see that as the comp there. And if you just were to look at the teams on the field, and again, I'm buying into this argument that Camp Lindo makes, those are different teams with different looking players. And part of me is like, the best game I saw all year last year was Camp Lindo, Rancho Cotati. Those two teams belong together. But these are the rules, and this is what they've earned used loosely, I guess. And we're going to go with it, because like that's how we play the game. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
You couldn't tell me that Marin Catholic against Camp Lindo or Cardinal Newman against Camp Lindo wouldn't be must-see football. And they're two divisions apart. That's just... Right. It's wild. We've already said it twice here. That's just kind of how they set up the bylaws, and that's how it's being played out. And we'll just have to see how it goes.
You
mentioned Coach Murph. That was another storyline that I forgot to mention at the top, but Coach Murph allegedly is stepping away officially once again. So that's something.
I note the emphasis on allegedly in your voice there. We love Coach Murphy. He was on the show last year.
Great guest.
Fans of that. Of that whole coaching staff. They will press on Coach in much the same way, I think, as I think Coach Galley will still be around. And in Pittsburgh, Coach Murphy will still be around, and probably even more so, at Clayton Valley, and I don't expect much to change there. We've been down this road before.
So I mentioned that Division II is loaded. Berkeley, who is only going to get better under Coach Perry. You have El Cerrito and Windsor have both moved up. Freedom Heritage came down. Rancho Cotati, who you mentioned, is loaded and back. Even Livermore and Dublin, I saw that playoff game last year, and that was really good competition. So and Foothill's in there. Granada's in there. Division 2 is a monster, and it's only getting better. We had a couple of notable transfers that have been announced the last month or so. One of those is leaving Clayton Valley. Micah Avery. I want to say Micah Parsons, so that's different player. Micah Avery.
Different position.
Micah Avery, their top running back, DB, combo guy, is leaving for El Cerrito. And then Windsor picked up a Rancho Cotati export in Ananias Walker, the receiver. And did he play defensive back too? You saw him play. Yeah,
he did. As well.
So two really good players going to two very promising programs for next year. And that should be quite interesting.
Yeah, it's before we get, we're talking D2 now. And you mentioned in our discussion of realignment and new divisions, Marin Catholic. They were never going to jump Marin Catholic a bunch of divisions, but moving them to D3 really doesn't stop the argument. But can you imagine? Let's play fantasy football for a second here. What if they had moved up and it was Marin Catholic, Rancho, El Cerrito, Windsor, all in the same bracket? Ooh,
man,
that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
But we don't live in fantasies. We live in the real world. And in the real world, I actually, both players you mentioned, I got a chance to see last year. We are both unabashed fans of Micah Avery. I think he's going to be a true difference maker at El Cerrito for a team that has a ton coming back. So El Cerrito is going to be very good again next year. And then Windsor pulling an in-league transfer. I don't know. This is going to be like, I don't even know what to call this showdown next year with Rancho, but he's a truly talented football player. So try lining your DBs up against him and Hayden Anderson. You won't find, I'm going to have to put some thought into this, but man, it'd be hard to find a better set of starting receivers than the two of them. With size and speed and everything you want. So, those are impact transfers. We don't have a transfer portal in high school football, but if we did, those would be the headline names, at least to me.
All right. So one more thing here before we bring Coach Edson onto the show. With spring over and the countdown about to begin, should we try to build a 7 Friday night too early top five? I think
we shouldn't. This is like you're just putting it on film. You're putting it on tape.
I know, right? It's like all those people. It's like all those NFL podcasters that wait for the schedule release and then go game by game and denote which where's the wins and where's the losses, and then they play it back and regret everything. But I mean, why not? Let's try it.
Okay, you go right ahead.
All right. So I feel like we could probably both agree that it needs to start with defending CIF Open Division runner-up Sarah San Mateo. A ton of returning talent from that team, including its all-star linebacker trio. Yes, all three are back, and headlined by 2022 NorCal Defensive Player of the Year, Jabari Mann, as well as starting quarterback Maui Smith, strong safety Joseph Bay. Everybody's back, man. So I feel confident we can say that we're going to start with Sarah at number one here in a couple months.
I will not fight you on that. I mean, they're going to be really good unless something happens, geologically to the city of San Mateo in the summertime where like they fall into the ocean or something or into San Francisco Bay. I feel pretty good that you can go to Sarah on a Saturday afternoon and see some good football this year.
Who would you put it at two?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I took the easy one. I gave you the hard one.
Yeah, you gave. If Austin Mack was still at Folsom, then I think that's probably where I go. He's not anymore. He's moved on to the college ranks, and he's going to be very, very good for many, many years. So, good luck to him. Walker Lyons' brother, Ryder Lyons, is looking like he's going to step into the spotlight under center at Folsom. Can I just put them both on the two line here? Folsom and De La Salle? Because,
sure.
Also, remember, too, that the last time we watched competitive football, one of the guys that we walked away from the state bowl games in Mission Viejo most impressed with is the returning quarterback for the De La Salle Spartans, Toa Faave.
That's fair.
He was electric down there, and it was a level that we hadn't seen from him all year. So, he's coming back. He's the guy now. There's no splitting reps as Carson Sui Sui has moved out of state. How do you bet against those guys too? Like, come on. So, two... With a bullet.
I was gonna say it's a majors golf week. We can go T2 and just go to
let's
four.
Do it. We'll split it. four is where it gets interesting. Lots of candidates. Who are you thinking?
I think the team of the many candidates, I think the team that probably has the least amount of questions is Pittsburgh. I think they're gonna have the
the least amount of questions.
Yeah.
Their head coach walked out. They got a new head coach.
Well, that is that, but it's I guess it's true. But he's been there for 20 something or like 10 plus years. It's not that big of a transition. And he's going to be coaching the side of the ball where they're most stacked. They've got three, they've got stars at all three levels of the defense. Juju Walls on the line, Etienne Pritchard, playmaking linebacker, Jacob Hudson with the build, a bajillion power five offers in the secondary. And we both talked up quarterback Marley Alcantara last year when he filled in for Jaden Rashada, and they had a sophomore Elijah Beau who rushed for 1,200 yards. So they've got a lot of pieces. Yes, there is a coaching change, but you've already mentioned that Victor Galli isn't going away to Siberia or anything. So
I think he's going to Alaska.
He is going to Alaska, but I don't know. I think I put Pittsburgh on the four line. And then I lean Saramo Valley, Mac, St. Mary's. Those are all right there in the five conversation.
I think all those teams are in the conversation. I'm not going to give you specific, like, I'm not going to rank them because I'm a chicken. But I will tell you, Central Catholic returns Tyler Wentworth and Brooklyn Cheek. And if I were starting an offense, I would want those two guys. So, and you know they're going to find a running back. You just probably don't know the name yet.
Right.
But they will have one or two or three or four. I like what's going on in Modesto. So count me as a early believer in Central Catholic.
That's fair. We already know that the Saramone has Luke Baker, who might have been the best player we saw, or the put on the best performance that we saw at those state games in Mission Viejo. He's currently busy this spring getting walk-off hits for the baseball program as well. So
tough life.
Not a bad person to start a program if you're starting a program with either, right? So gonna be interesting for sure.
I was going through recruiting rankings earlier today. Man, there's a lot of good football players in this area this year.
Really, oh
boy, there. This is a up year for Northern California, so it's exciting. All right, well, that's enough from us. We need to get into the stuff that really matters. There have been questions out there that a recent staffing move in the high school football coaching ranks might have weakened this here podcast. The scuttlebutt was that perhaps we'd be down a man because of personnel moves at one of the region's powerhouse programs. But rest easy, my friends, you people of podcast land. We are here today in the spring to set the record straight. Coach Terry Edson is back for another season, and we can't wait to hear what sort of life perspective he's ready to bring for the summer of Terry 2023.
Now it's time to welcome in our favorite weekly consultant who's no longer a consultant. He was adamant at the end of last season he'd be hanging up his game night advice line. There might be audio I can dig up. However, his stance was so fierce that he's now back in a full-time coaching role starting next season with his beloved De La Salle Spartans, and Sports Stars was able to break the news, thank goodness. It's our pleasure to say hello to De La Salle Special Teams and Safeties Coach for 2023, Terry Edson. Terry, how are you?
I'm just doing wonderful. It's 1 week left of school. That's always a good time in the world for me. Yeah, so last time in the classroom, I have two more, well, technically three more classes, four actually, twice on Monday, two finals, and that wraps a career in the classroom of 41 years.
So I'm assuming that your path to school on a daily basis includes some combination. It touches on Treat Boulevard at some point. So can we expect in the next week or two road closures for the Edson Parade?
You mean all my Ford students, my former students having a parade because I'm finally quitting? Yeah, I'm sure we could have that. Yeah, there's no parade planned, Ben, because I'm still going to be there next year.
so we've heard
not just for that. Okay, I got other jobs I'm doing.
Well, Chase alluded to the fact that you will be back on the sidelines instead of in your consulting role. You will actually be back to coaching this year. And I guess my question for you is, since I assume that you had to, like everybody else would have, apply for this job, I'm wondering what you put on your resume when you applied. Did Coach Allenbaugh call your references? And if so, why were we not contacted?
Well, if that I cannot answer for. I put everyone on my reference. If applying for the job is getting a text from the head coach saying, "I need you back, please," then I guess that was my that's what I had to do. It's the new world order here, Ben. You no longer turn in resumes. You just text them in, I guess.
Football in 2023. My
Instagram account or Snapchat could have done it that way, but I don't. So there you have it.
I could see Coach Allenbaugh and Coach Edson connecting on TikTok. Yes, I could.
They need to do it now before they ban it. So, okay.
Yeah. Well, now that you are back and spring football has come to a close, how was spring football? Are you at least enjoying being back out there in a more close to normal role?
It was great because I didn't spend 1 minute on the field, Ben. Okay. I don't know. I was basically hired for next year because I still had a job to do this year, which they're paying me for. I didn't want to upset anybody. So, I still do work with Bishop Cummins after school. So I had to finish that, which I'm still doing next year, but I've met with the administration and we've worked it out so we can do both. So, one of the reasons why, I mean, obviously Justin really, you know, there was, you know, a coach left, and then there might be, there was a possible another coach could leave, and, it was literally right before spring football. So he got a little worried about what he was going to do. And of course I'm sitting right up there in the learning center every day. So it wasn't too far of a walk or an ask or a text away to be considerate. So part of the reason, there's a couple reasons why he was able to cajole me back on the sidelines, because I will tell you, I miss coaching, but I wouldn't say I wasn't enjoying that coaching either, because, you know, I was. But number one, if I was still teaching, it would have been a negative right off the bat. I just wouldn't have done it. But since I'm not teaching, since I am part-time, the other side of it is, you know, I always wanted to be available to watch my daughters, and my daughter's on a cruise ship, dancing on an Alaskan cruise ship, and she won't be off until next October. So she's obviously not going to have something in the fall coming off that. She's working off that job right now. So my other daughter's transitioning probably to a different state. So, you know, since the dancers were in flux, I felt that was easier for me. My wife's still working. I'll still be home 2 hours before her. So, at the dance studio. So it just kind of, the appeal to me was I wasn't going to have to come home, you know, get class, grade papers, watch film, and the grind just does not interest me at all anymore. You know, how on earth Bruce Bochy at 68, La Russa went back in his 70s, both unbelievable coaches, how those guys mustered the energy to go back is beyond me, to that kind of full-time stress environment. It's crazy. So the other thing too, the other thing that at least for this year was, like, you know, I didn't get to end on my own terms because, you know, COVID hit and I couldn't coach in 2020. And then I took the Bishop Cummins job and along with teaching. So I kind of wanted to go out when I wanted to go out, and this will give me an opportunity to kind of end it. If I'm going to end it, I want to just kind of go out one more year, kind of knowing this is what's going to happen. So I'm looking forward to it. The funny thing was, when he first started the text, it was like, "I need a defensive coordinator." And I said, "Well, you need a defensive coordinator. The guy that's texting me should be the next defensive coordinator." I go, "Don't even think about me doing that." So I bargained down to special teams and safety. So I felt without an agent, I did a pretty good job because, and you know, I want to take care of myself too. I mean, like I said, I'm turning 65 in June, so it's not like I'm some spring chicken here, but I think it'll be another way to reconnect with the kids. So I'm looking forward to it. I love the staff. I love Tron and Maurice Jones-Drew on that staff. You know, I got all these, you know, the former players. So I'm really looking forward to being with those guys.
It's not just because you wanted to yell to the headset and actually have them have to listen to you.
They know what they're getting themselves into. I don't think they, think anything's going to change from 2019. I got my shots when I did that one day where I had to help out when Hallenbach got COVID. So they got a kind of a future look what it's going to be like. Yeah. Some things I'm just not going to be able to hold my tongue. Like I, you know, that's just not me. I mean, they know what they're getting here. So, I think the not being in charge of something, I mean, special teams, I'm in charge of that, but I love special teams. So I'm looking forward to getting back out there and having some fun with this. So
Chase pulled a very cagey journalistic move when he announced the news and had talked to Justin and all this. His post announcing it said that a legend was coming back to De La Salle. So I texted him and said, "Lad's coming back."
Had to get the clicks. Had to keep it open.
Lad would only come back if he promised him it would be 70 degrees and air conditioned on the field every day. I can tell you that right now. That was the end of Lad. It was like 100 degrees out there. He was supposed to help us out again. You know, like, what was it, 2015, 2016? It was hilarious. He walked out there. He was out there 5 minutes and said, "No way. Got this car, went home. We haven't seen him on the field coaching since." Smartest man in the building for sure.
Global warming claims another casualty.
Climate change, Ben. We like to call it climate change.
Climate change, yes. So that leads in nicely here. Since school is wrapping up and summer is right around the corner, we know from experience that you tend to spend a little bit of time on the golf course, but I'm curious if there are other big plans for the summer of Terry in 2023.
You know, that was the first thing. That's a good question because it's, you know, with the girls out of the house and when you get to that close to retirement age, everyone says, you know, the 60s, when you still, you know, are physically decent, that's the time to travel. So my wife and I I told Justin, I go, okay, let's get one thing straight right off the bat. I go, I've had plans for like, well, one of them is we're going to Italy. We've had this plan, this trip planned for 9 months. So we're going to Italy. I wasn't planning on going on an Alaskan boat cruise, but since my daughter's in a dance show on an Alaskan boat cruise, I'll be doing that. And of course, I've got it back with my partner in crime, Steve Cochamilli. We're going back to Saratoga, our home away from home. So I've got a pretty fun summer planned around golfing and bowling. So I feel like I'm living the summer that I deserve after all those summers I spent on Witten Drive every day almost. Yeah.
From your Alaskan cruise boat, make sure you wave to Coach Galley's fishing boat.
Oh, that's right. Huh? I've got to talk to him about that. Yeah.
Seven right, Friday night goes partner. To Alaska.
My retired fantasy partner. That is correct.
Well, we have, as we record this today, it's a sad day, actually, in the football world.
Jim Brown
died today. And so we wanted to take a quick minute to get your thoughts on one of the true legends of football, both in the college and professional game.
Oh, you know, what a unbelievable player. He was, you know, just a groundbreaking, you know, player. We always think of the NFL as so established, right? But back when Jim Brown was playing, it wasn't as popular. And, you know, he became the face of the league. You know, he was, you know, for his time, just the ultimate definition of the big back, right? I mean, but he could run. I mean, what a specimen he was to someone that size and the speed and the power he ran with. I mean, guys were, well, how many times do you hear in the NFL? I mean, every once in a while, maybe Earl Campbell, there's some other guys where guys just say, I don't want to hit this guy, you know, because I know this is not going to feel good. Jim Brown, some of those classic footages, you know, breaking all those tackles and then to break away a tackle. I think the last guy maybe trying to think who was the big, you know, Bo Jackson was that guy, you know, could run you over and then, you know, you can't catch him. And it's just a rare breed. There's just not a lot of guys off the top of your head. And there's been a lot of great running backs in the NFL and in college and all that. But the bottom line is, I think, you know, everyone compares the greats to that guy, right? I mean, his name's always in the conversation. You know, it's like Willie Mays. It's like Michael Jordan, Kareem Jabbar. I mean, it's just rarefied air. And what a legend that he was. And I thought he was a pretty decent actor as well. Maybe he's the best athlete actor ever as well. You know, I mean, I was listening to KNBR on the way home. They're trying to think of actors, you know, that have Carl Weathers was a good actor. You know, I thought that was the best comparison. But to be a stud, you know, in his sport and to be a really good actor as well, that's a rare duo right there. And I think, what, he was a lacrosse, right, at Syracuse?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good knowledge. I mean,
yeah, so the guy is a legend. There's no doubt about it. 87 years old, you know, he led a good life. And, you know, God bless and rest in peace, Jim Brown.
Before we leave you to your summer of Terry, as Ben called it, if you do happen to hit the links more than once, feel free to give us a shout and let us try and redeem ourselves from last.
Oh yeah, we got to get that. We got to get who did we play with that day?
Coach Emilio.
Oh well, he's not playing golf anymore, so I have to find someone else. I'll get my old football buddy and new freshman coach to De La Salle High School, Rich Catruvo, out there on the course.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Got him back too, boys.
Wow. Now we have a legend returning to the De La Salle sidelines.
Yes, we do.
Excellent. Right. Well, we will let you enjoy your summer, and we will look forward to your glorious return in August. For season 3.
I'll be smarter too because I'll have film now. Some team.
There you go.
So now I'm an intelligent decision. Okay.
Love
your picks will not suck all year long. That's my first commitment to you guys right now.
Fantastic.
Nice.
All right, boys.
All right, Coach. We'll see you later.
Talk to you.
Bye. See ya. All right. Well, I can't believe Coach Allenbaugh voluntarily signed up for another season of that. We might need to dig into the psychoanalysis of that this year. In any event, there are 90 days from the day we record this until the August 18th start for the Sac Joaquin section. 90 days for us to form short-sighted, incorrect impressions of teams that will stick with us through at least mid-season, maybe longer. Or, if you're really familiar with our work, 90 days for me to come up with about 25 to 30 reasons why I will never do the final read for this podcast. League Commissioner Chase, tell the people what they need to know.
Yep. As we wrap up, let us add one last thanks to Coach Terry Edson for stopping by. We build 7 Friday Night using Spotify for Podcasters, formerly Anchor. But the show is available on several platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. If you listen to shows on one of those platforms, search for 7 Friday Night, the number 7. And please rate and subscribe. Each of our episodes get their own dedicated page on Sports Stars Magazine's web home, sportstarsmag.com. You can stream the episode there or find links to the various other platforms. That's also where you can find the magazine's other podcasts. We're currently in season 2 of our oral history style podcast, Sports Stories. If you enjoy listening to athletes spin tales about some of their greatest moments or toughest challenges, you may want to check it out. We started season 2 with a series devoted to track and field. Our last two guests were both Olympic gold medalists. Our main cover art features photography and design by yours truly. And finally, our theme music was produced and performed by Dustin Phillips. All right, Ben, any final thoughts as we head into the summer countdown?
Summertime and the living's easy, right? I mean, maybe we might have to pop back on here during the dog days with some famous friends, perhaps. Perhaps.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Some famous friends. We have famous friends. That's on you, though. Get to work. Anyway.
Great.
As noted earlier, I am in the market for a baseball team to root for. So if anyone has any suggestions on why I should become like a Pittsburgh Pirates fan or the St. Louis Cardinals or... No, maybe not the Cardinals. Chase won't let me back on.
Not on this podcast. Yeah. No.
The Texas Rangers. I don't know. Please send them my way. Yeah, Boach. Yeah.
There you go.
I want to root for Dusty, but I can't root for the Astros. Maybe I can root for the Astros now that I can't root for the A's. I don't know what's going on. My life is conflicted, man. But yes, let's close this thing out by saying I will say good luck to all of our student athlete and educator friends who are now in the sprint to the finish for the 22-23 school year. Crush those finals. Get to graduation for those who are outgoing. We're looking forward to seeing the football class of 22 in college this year. And we'll be back sooner rather than later, I hope, because it seems like we're going to keep doing this thing beyond the Vegas predictions.
Yep. Like it or not, you're going to be stuck with us for another season, fans. I echo what Ben said. Congratulations to all the 2023 graduates, to all those who are coming back. Enjoy your summers, and we will see you in August, if not sooner, with some famous friends, maybe. All right.
No, but seriously, De La Salle's sideline's super short. They're going to put a bunch of old dudes over there?